Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. As you may have heard on the news in the last day, federal prosecutors have shut down the digital currency company Liberty Reserve for allegedly running a global $6 billion money laundering scheme, one of the biggest schemes of its kind to ever be uncovered. And it sounds like Liberty Reserve is like the Bitcoin, if you know Bitcoin, of the criminal underground. Bitcoin, the kind of trendy online currency. U.S. Attorney Preet Bharara called it the financial hub of the cybercrime world. So what were they actually doing? What made it illegal? How is it any different from how regular legal banks move national currencies around the world? And how do virtual currencies even exist? Diane Brady, senior editor at Bloomberg Businessweek, is here to explain. Welcome back, Diane.
Nice to be here.
And the indictment says that Liberty Reserve facilitated, quote, a broad range of online criminal activity, including credit card fraud, identity theft, investment fraud, computer hacking, child pornography, and narcotics trafficking. What didn't they do, allegedly? So what is Liberty Reserve and how did it work?
Well, it was based in Costa Rica, and basically they call themselves a payment processor, an online exchange. And what you would do is you would essentially – it would take the payment for you, convert it into this digital currency. In this case, they called it LRs, and it was anonymous. That was the beauty of it. So you didn't know who was paying, who was receiving. Wonderful thing if you're a terrorist, a drug lord, or in any other business you'd like the government to not see.
Here's how anonymous it was. The U.S. attorney, Preet Bharara, here in New York, announcing the charges yesterday, illustrating how one of the defendants used it. What? Oh, we don't have that? Okay, we'll have that in just a second. So describe this, explain this idea for people who don't know Bitcoin or this idea of a virtual digital currency. How can there be such a thing, and how can it actually have real value?
Well, one of the things that people like about a digital currency is you don't have to pay as many fees. You can take your euros or your rupees or your dollars and you can convert it into something everybody can use. But the reality is that it's also anonymous in this case. But people have Facebook credits. They have Amazon coins. There's a lot of different types of virtual currency out there. The difference is that this was a business essentially that had that anonymity, had that third party. And you have to wonder, why would you go to a place that's using fake money and anonymous buyers and sellers if not for some activity?
And I read that those people who ran that $45 million ATM heist recently, people will remember that bust, this global network and the kids going around filling up the backpacks
exactly
with cash from ATM to ATM to send it to, you know, up the chain, and that they used Liberty Reserve to share that money around.
They did. And look at the founder. The founder, in fact, I think in the indictment, they have him AKA. It's Arthur, I think, Balanchuk, and then Eric Paltz. So he had multiple names. Plus, he had a very similar business before in the U.S., left the U.S., renounced his citizenship. Voila, another business emerges in Costa Rica.
So how anonymous could you be using this virtual currency?
During the investigation, an undercover agent working as part of this group was able to register an account at Liberty Reserve using the name Joe Bogus, the account name To Steal Everything, and the address 123 Fake Main Street in completely made-up city, USA. Perhaps some of you live there.
Preet Bharara, the U.S. attorney for the Southern District here in New York. I'm going to change my name to Joe Bogus. We're going to call this the Joe Bogus Show.
Or Russian Hacker. That was another popular one, apparently.
And no one, not Liberty Reserve itself, nor the third-party exchanger, is asking you who you are, which means, in theory, and apparently in practice, allegedly in practice, you can move dirty money into Liberty Reserve currency and move it out through a third party. The resulting currency is untraceable, clean, and laundered.
Well, and let's see, this is not unique to Liberty Reserve. Let's not forget HSBC just paid a $1.9 billion fine for essentially money laundering for Mexican drug lords and others. So banks have done this. The reality is it's just a more attractive place. It's much easier. And if you can go on as Joe Bogus and nobody stops you, then obviously not a lot of oversight either.
So what about Bitcoin? which has not been charged with any crime. We should be very clear. How does this affect that? Does it taint the entire world of virtual currency?
Well, if you're a cyber criminal, it may become your currency of choice, but it's definitely on the radar screen for prosecutors for the same reasons. It doesn't have quite the same anonymity, but it does have that. It is essentially, this is a currency that you mine. People love it because it's supposed to be open source, it's hackers, but the reality is it's very attractive, again, to cyber criminals. Fake money, anonymity can't be traced.
Why is the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York prosecuting a global money laundering scheme with a company that's based in Costa Rica?
Well, I think about a fifth or 200,000 at least of the people using this were from the U.S. And the U.S. is very serious about what's happening with money laundering worldwide. They were the ones that went after HSBC. The reality is that this is money that's going to terrorists. So Homeland Security's interested. It's money that is being funneled from drugs. So it is very much illicit gains, and often illicit gains that take place in the U.S.
You said 200,000 people, a fifth of those using it. So a million people used Liberty Reserve?
At least. Now, again, I think the beauty of anonymity is it's hard to tell, isn't it? Maybe Joe Bogus and Russian hacker could have been the same person. But that is what the estimates are. And the $6 billion is also an estimate. They can't be quite sure.
What are the most common legitimate uses of virtual online currency? Why would people prefer it if they're not committing some kind of financial crime over putting money in a bank that they know is, you know, brick and mortar and offers real rates of exchange and so forth?
Well, one thing is it's easy to transfer around. You can basically go worldwide. It's the same currency. You get fewer fees. That's one thing. But I think the other reality is some people don't like the idea of a central authority. If you don't have a lot of faith in the U.S. dollar, you kind of like the idea of having some kind of cyber currency. It's cool. But, you know, really, at the end of the day, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
And one company, epaycards.com, used Liberty, we are told, to let its customers outside of the United States create accounts and buy things and pay bills through a U.S.-issued Visa or MasterCard. So
yeah,
those worlds would cross over.
It makes your cyber transactions much easier, and a lot of people like the freedom of it. So there's a lot that's attractive about it. That's one reason, for example, Amazon and Facebook and many others create currencies too.
Also for tax avoidance? Does Apple in Ireland use some kind of virtual currency?
Well, I think they just keep it offshore, but maybe this will put it on their radar screen too.
But other people could use this. If they keep their money in this, it's less detectable as income by the Internal Revenue Service.
It is, but it reminds me a little bit. There used to be ads in Canada for hydroponic farming where people would be growing plants in their closets. Now, people grow plants in their closets for many different reasons, but if you want to grow marijuana, that's a particularly good reason. And I think that's why Liberty Reserve got on the radar screen. If you're a cyber criminal, it's an especially good place to be.
And the U.S. attorney says Liberty Reserve processed over 12 million financial transactions each year with a value of over $1.4 billion, and that virtually all of that activity was related to criminal acts, according to Preet Bharara.
They called it the PayPal for cyber criminals, I think.
So the U.S. attorney froze all the funds in the Liberty Reserve accounts, and they also used, if I'm not mistaken, the Patriot Act as the governing authority for this. Does there need to be a terrorism hook for the Patriot Act to be invoked?
Not necessarily. Sometimes it can be used for drugs. There's also issues of sex trafficking, for example, smuggling of people and goods. So there's many different reasons as to why you can invoke this. But I think terrorism is one that is a particular issue. Of course, it's a real concern. But I also think that the drug money is a big concern as well. And, you know, anything from the cyber criminals that are hacking your accounts, where do they want to process your money? They want that to disappear too.
And certainly terrorism networks would use anything in the financial world that could make the money disappear from authorities' views.
Exactly. And they did let you pay merchants. The problem was a lot of those merchants, essentially, according to the government, were merchants of illicit goods. So
why in general, before you go, are virtual currencies becoming more attractive? Are regular currencies being subject to more regulation? Or is it just because of technology? Everything else is going virtual, so why not currency too?
I think it's an ease issue, especially when you're talking about trans-border transactions. You pay a fee. We all know this with credit cards. You pay a fee to flip your Deutschmark for your yen, for your euros, for your dollars. Much easier if you're just dealing in a virtual currency that everybody can understand, everybody can use, and much cheaper.
So do you think that the governments of the world are going to have to figure out now how to regulate the legitimate virtual currencies, or is it a flash in the pan? Because I've heard, for example, about concern over a Bitcoin bubble, because it's gone up compared to the original value when Bitcoins were first issued. And, oh my God, this may crash, and then it's going to lose its luster.
Well, Bitcoin's its own special beast because it's this, basically a processor. There's a limited number. So there is a bit of a tulip mania aspect to this. But good question. I do not think virtual currencies are going away. Some of the ones we see now, though, may.
Diane Brady, senior editor at Bloomberg Businessweek, explaining the Liberty Reserve case and the virtual currency world surrounding it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.